listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, May 22nd, 2019. I'm Dr. Doug Kelly here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening. Glad to be here.
Michael Kelly as well.
Hello, everyone. Always happy to be here.
The Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. And, of course, this program serves as our weekly, you know, mass. Okay, it's not mass because we're not Catholics, but same thing. You know, it's church service. That's what this is, you know.
Okay.
And as such, we like to read our abbreviated 9 principles of belief because it keeps them in the forefront, keeps them in the top of the mind, you know, TOMA, top of the mind awareness. First one is do no harm, do right. Number 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings, consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8, metaphysical education, practical life skills empowers the human spirit and enhances the human condition. And 9, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. And you can read the expanded version of these on our website at metaphysicalhumanism.org. So tonight, we're going to talk briefly about a couple of topics. One's evolution, the other one's beliefs. And one kind of delves and blends into the other. But I just wanted to mention a little on evolution. And Dr. Hunter is going to read the evolution card from our inner oracle card deck just to get that subject started.
Well, and for those listening, that's number 18. So evolution is the driving force of all life. Change is always afoot. Be aware and participate in the evolution of present energies that change situations. Resistance to change is born from fear of losing control. Resistance to change prolongs discomfort, but fear not, personal growth and enlightenment are sure to result in the wake of your own evolution and that of life around you. Thus, entropy is lowered.
Good. So evolution obviously can be in a lot of different senses, and that's really part of this program is to evolve, to grow spiritually and to evolve spiritually. And so part of the deal is to get people thinking. You know, we want to get people thinking. And one of the things that I think about often and on at times is biological evolution. You know, you look at creation, you look at all this stuff, all this life that we have on this planet. I mean, everywhere you look, there is life, and it is eclectic, you know. I mean, it's ubiquitous, it's widespread, it's diverse. It's like almost, if you can imagine, it's probably out there, but you know, to a large extent anyway. But everywhere you look, there's this life. And on one level or another, microbial life, you know, there's all kinds of life. You know, I don't have to tell you, you all live here, so you know what I'm talking about. But that just amazes me that there can be such a diversity of life. And I'm thinking, okay, what's responsible for this? You know, I, of course, not the first one to think about this or to wonder about where it all came from. That's why we have religion. And that's why people created God, to try to figure out, you know, how it all came here. And so we attribute the creation of it to some godlike being. Now, I'm not saying that there's not some kind of creator. We're agnostic when it comes to the question was, is there a creator? But we're atheistic when it comes to the God type creator from the the Bible and the patriarchal religions. But think about this. Let's just set God aside for a moment. And I often wonder, it's almost like the Matrix, you know? It's like there's code built into life, into this cosmos. And it's like if the situation is accommodating, it's like life will just take hold. It will just form. It will just happen. And I don't have a big point to make here. I just want to get people thinking, and I want to spur that on. So I'm wondering, is that what this is? Is there just, that's the way of this universe, that if the conditions are correct in the universe, life just takes hold. It just happens. And I think, I've always thought, that it's driven by consciousness, for one thing, on some level. And I'll stop for a moment and offer the floor to Dr. Hunter.
Well, you know, I think that's where the four laws come in. There's earth law, natural law, spiritual law, and universal law, at least in indigenous cultures. And earth law is microbial. It is physical, and that physical matter. It has its own evolution. Without interference, it would naturally evolve in its own way, like from dinosaurs to whatever we have now. And again, there'd be other natural law, things to naturally affect that, those earth laws. And again, I'm trying to stay away from the human input here, but, you know, it rains, things grow, you know, there's a storm, wipe stuff out, so on and so forth. We get meteors. And so there is this natural evolution, I think, in the universe. And at some level, I have to agree with you, Dr. Kelly, that there is a consciousness of some type that binds it all together. Mm-hmm. That there is this, like Earth itself, she has a consciousness. She knows what she's doing. And again, if we stay out of the way. And yeah, people call it Gaia. They have lots of names for it. And so there is this natural universal consciousness that binds it. That's the only way I can say it. That
well, for lack
it continues.
It's the force, you know.
Exactly. You know, and I love that term myself. I try to avoid it because, of course, I'm stealing from Star Wars. But I totally agree. There is this in that evolution, and it's fascinating even to watch a larvae grow into a butterfly, you know, from a cocoon to a butterfly. There are so many things that we can watch the metamorphosis and the evolution of that. What's even more interesting from an intellectual point of view, I suppose, and it's just our natural curiosity, is how individuals evolve, the individual human and the consciousness. Now, it's true you go through childhood and you get cellular, you know, reproduction and you grow that way, but we grow by our consciousness as well, what we think of in our thinking and our intelligence. And I find as people change, how is that consciousness evolving? And, of course, then we have to assume that evolve means to improve.
Yeah.
And not everyone agrees with that.
Yeah. So. Michael, any thoughts you want to add at this point?
Well, honestly, I've been really enjoying listening to this discussion, and I think it's incredibly fascinating and such an interesting point to explore, the prospect that, you know, no matter what the conditions, when we're talking about biological evolution, life does find a way to thrive in almost any environment. And one day, if we can explore more of our own universe and galaxy, we might find radically different types of life. But the core question of what drives that life, why does life want to exist in the first place? And I think it does come back to consciousness. And, you know, the entire concept that in order for reality to exist, it needs to have something there to observe it.
Yeah.
And just fascinating topic, so.
Yeah, it's true. You know, it's like life will take hold anywhere and everywhere. And it's like out here in the backyard, I have next to the shed, I have some old pavers. And I happen to notice today that there's all this it's almost a moss-like stuff growing on it, on the pavers. You know, it's very pretty. And I'm thinking, how are you growing? There's no dirt there. You know, it's like, you know, breatharians. You know, we all want to become a breatharian, right? All we have to do is breathe. And that gives us all the sustenance we need. But it's funny how that happened. I mean, there's, you know, at the bottom of the ocean, you know, those vents and where there's no sunlight. And so, and, you know, I watch these space documentaries all the time, too. And it's like there's, you know, thought to be oceans on Enceladus and Pluto and what's the other one? Anyway, and then there's Titan, which has got a methane-based atmosphere. And you know, you just wonder, I would be shocked if life wasn't just absolutely everywhere in this universe. In one way or another, this universe is just teeming with life one way or another. So, you know, and I've talked about this theory before, and we talked about consciousness. I've talked about this theory about a slice of consciousness, you know, and it makes sense to me, and that's all that matters. Just kidding. Well, sort of. But, you know, it makes sense to me that life, in order for it to be a living thing, it needs a slice of consciousness. So if you think about this, you have a microbe, you know, bacteria. It's alive. It's living. And it has a measure of consciousness, very minuscule, but a measure of it, that's what drives it. And then you kind of go up from there, right? We have grass and trees and plants and that kind of thing. And there's a measure, a little bit more of a measure or slice of consciousness that drives that life. And then you keep going up and you've got rodents and mammals and, you know, amphibians, all the start getting some of the higher animals that have a little more of a measure of consciousness. And then you have some of the smarter animals, you know, the dolphins and the great apes and so forth that have an even greater measure of consciousness. And so to me, that explains the difference between something that is alive and something that is not alive, is that in a sense that if it's alive, it's almost a container for consciousness, for some degree of consciousness.
Another way to look at it is everything is conscious. It's just how we view intelligence.
Mm-hmm. Could be.
Because trees now, biologists now know that trees talk to each other and what they gravitate toward and how they'll feed the young before they'll feed themselves. And you know, so it's that is a consciousness, but maybe not the way we perceive intelligence. See, and then dexterity, I think, what is it? Dolphins have a really high intelligence level, but of course their bodies would minimize their ability to play piano. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so,
make it tough.
But elephants have been known to take a pen in their you know, snout and start drawing pictures. So, and they know how to mimic. So I wonder about how we perceive, and this just again the belief systems, how we perceive what is intelligent life.
And I was just going to say, I think that I'm so happy that you brought up that point, because I truly believe that as the human race evolves really spiritually and in its awareness, we're going to realize that we've shared this planet with several species that really by our definition do have a measure of self-awareness and complex cognitive ability. The orca whale, is the more widely known as the killer whale, is one of my favorite examples. They are amazing creatures, and the name killer whale is not applicable whatsoever. But they are intelligent. They show coordination in terms of social structure. They work together. They show abstract thought in their ability to plan ahead. And they have languages that are dependent on the region of Earth they're in. These are all concepts that we associate with, you know, a sentient species.
And they grieve for their young.
Absolutely.
And it's amazing.
I truly believe that in the future, humans will look back in our time and they're going to have a bit of, we're going to be a little bit backwards to them in how we treated these creatures and how we behaved around them. It's going to, some of the behavior that's been seen is really going to look backwards to future generations, I believe. And that's just an amazing point about that kind of consciousness.
In evolution.
Yes, absolutely.
And it really does hinge on what view we take. Mm-hmm. And what perspective we take and in our belief systems. You know, if we minimize ourselves, and this is where I, for as esoteric as I've been in my life, and even as a kid, talking to spirits and believing in other worlds, I appreciate, beyond words, I appreciate science. Because there is a science to our consciousness and our views. But there are people who completely disagree with that and go by a faith and a blind faith. And they can't explain it. They don't feel the need to explain it. But what I find then is when you don't incorporate the science of this, of our view of life with our consciousness and believing in, let's say, multiple dimensions of time, space, and even the ability to time travel, why not? Then we're minimizing our abilities to evolve greater. And but that's my view, and I have to respect and appreciate other people don't always see it that way. You know, and really, it comes to, I was at work the other day, as people know by now, I'm sure, that I've taken this part-time job at a funeral home, and I love the work, I love the people, but there's all kinds of belief systems. And one of the girls there is studying to become a funeral director, and she's going through a course on religion, and specifically about the protocols, because she has to be aware of it. And so one of the other fellows who works there started talking about Christianity and his views. And I listened, and of course he's talking about the Virgin Mary, and she comes channels now through these people. He listens to all these, it's like listening to Seth Speaks or something, like some other conscious being channeled through people. And the messages of the Virgin Mary, been coming to this one woman for 32 years, comes weekly to this other woman, and the messages for people on earth. And he had to inject that a question asked of her is, are there aliens in the universe? Like, is there other life? And absolutely not. Earth is chosen, blah, 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 and as we prepare for end of days. And I'm standing there very quietly, and my brain is like going a million miles a minute, if you could appreciate that. And I'm thinking, this is a guy who thinks witchcraft and all that other stuff is nonsense. Readers are nonsense. But he can believe that somebody's channeling the Virgin Mary and that there's no aliens. Okay, so he's carrying on. And as he paused, I looked at this other young woman and I said, and I disagree. And everything went silent. And he says, well, that's the whole point. We all have different opinions. I said, yes. And maybe God's an alien. We don't know. Well, this is true, but I believe this. And that's great. We can agree to disagree. And that was where we kind of left it. But I found it really interesting to me that this is someone who is a wonderful man. He's very educated, knows his stuff. He's awesome with people. I got to say that. And you can't help but kind of fall in love with this elderly man and the work he does. But that he does not regard science. And I thought, that's the missing link, you know, and that for me was the missing thing in an evolution, if you will. I can't talk about him personally. He's happy. What do we all care?
Yeah.
But, and he's sharing of himself in a very, it's not a hard way. He's not preaching. He's just sharing. And so I appreciated that about him as well, because a lot of people are quite radical when they're Christians or dogmatic. But I thought it also taught me about observation, that no matter what I think of and believe, observing how other people can be, he can be okay with the priests in the church wearing robes, but when a witch puts one on, it has to be at Halloween. You know? And I thought, wow, it's very kind of messed up in a way. And does that help or hinder our evolution? And in my view, and again, that's purely subjective in my opinion, that it hinders our evolution collectively. Mm-hmm. But
I agree. So it's funny how a lot of us can believe in the same thing, but we say we don't. It's like
exactly.
It's like when I've done paranormal investigations. There was one case where a fella absolutely would not participate in using the Ouija board at all. Absolutely would not. They're demonic, blah blah blah. But so we said no problem, and so we instead we got a glass, drinking glass, turn it upside down, put it on the table, use it as a planchette, and he had no problem with that, And we've done table tipping. He sat at the same table, table tipping. It's so funny that a lot of people have this. It's a social conditioning that Ouija boards, are these demonic things, and people will go head to head with me on this. And I'm telling them, no, they're just a stupid game. They can perhaps be used, but there's no difference in concept between using a Ouija board or using an EMF meter to communicate with a spirit. And there's no difference in communicating with spirits and that we do and the prophets of old communicating with spirits, right? With angels, with God, and so forth. Christianity was founded on spirit communication, and yet it doesn't, it prohibits spirit communication, and divination and all that stuff, the occult, and yet it was founded on that kind of a thing. So a lot of people, they are conditioned in a certain way, but they have no problem doing the same thing in principle in a different way. That's a fascinating
interesting
thing.
One of the other things that got brought up is about grief counseling and basic psychology and approaches to trauma and death in shorter words here. But I said, well, and my injection was keeping in mind that we still go by a Freudian kind of principle of understanding how the mind works. And, of course, everybody looks at me. I said, well, Freud was the one to break the rules to study the human condition and hypnosis states of mind that was not injected with religion. And he was highly persecuted for that in his time. And, of course, later came B.F. Skinner with his principles of conditioning and how we have evolved. And I kind of mark that as a point of evolution in our understanding of the human condition. And because somebody dared to break away from religion to make a claim, and how we are still using those basic principles, but we're evolving to somewhere else. And so this young woman asked me, well, what's the difference in what you do? I said, for me, it's spirit first. And that's what Freud doesn't include. So whether it's, your basic psychology, educational psychiatry, grief counseling, they're not taking into consideration our spiritual element that's not religion connected. And, mm-hmm. I said, but you're a spirit joined with a body. That's my belief, and that's how I integrate that spirituality with ourselves. And so I appreciate the Freudian approach, and I admire him immensely for being, courageous to stand up to a huge religious base in dealing with people in the medical profession. Because he dared to do that. But now we're preparing for another stage of our evolution. And who are we? And that's consciousness. Fran brought mm-hmm. up a great question here in the chat room. We talk about universal consciousness. Are we saying that the universe is the consciousness? And Michael responded saying that's a fascinating question. I've often wondered. I'm almost certain the earth itself has a measure of consciousness from the combined life in a way. And again, that's opening our perspective that the universe is the consciousness, which is absolutely possible. My view, anyway.
And and universal consciousness, I mean, think about it, it's like the collective consciousness. It's almost I have to go back to the term the force. You know, we're all part of it. We're all collective. We're part of collective consciousness. There's this consciousness is the gas that drives this universe. It's fuels things. It's like the oil in the engine. I mean, it's just everywhere. It's what makes it all work together. And we're all part of that. We have our own consciousness. And when you put all our consciousness together with everybody else's, it's collective consciousness. We are all connected in that way. And so, you know, there's just that consciousness and what it all is made up of, other than, you know, beyond all of us, we all make up part of it. But does it go beyond that? I don't know. It probably does. You know, I wish I knew, but that's basically universal consciousness, collective consciousness.
You know, I will say, I just want to inject here that Dr. Edward made a comment also. Funny that fundamentalist Christians have no problem with trying to heal disease using materialistic medicine, but have problems with people who exhibit spiritual healing talents. And there is these ironies. And I wanted to say that out loud, and thanks for that, Edward, so that we become better observers of what might be a contradiction, you know, and start to see that perspective better so that we can have a better dialogue, you know, with each other to evolve. And Fran selected a card for the room tonight, and thanks for that, Fran. Open-mindedness, number 38. And I'd like to take a moment to read that before, you know, we get pulling cards. And if you'll be on deck for Dr. Edward there, Michael, that would be great. An open mind is sensitive and grounded. An open mind avoids preconceived notions, especially ones that are based on a personal agenda, a pet theory, or a preferred belief. An open mind is not gullible or credulous. Rather, an open mind thinks critically and searches for additional possibilities. It absorbs knowledge and searches for credible solutions and conclusions. And that's a great card, you know, as we have evolved in this conversation, to come around kind of full circle, because it does require an open mind so that we can continue to evolve.
Good. All right.
All right.
Michael, do you have one for Fran?
Yep, Dr. Edward. Okay. And for Dr. Edward, I pulled number 6, boundaries. This card represents boundaries. It's important for you to establish clear boundaries for yourself. Equally, it is necessary to be aware of others and to not overstep or encroach on their boundaries. This is a mark of a self-complete individual. Reassess and assertively protect your healthy boundaries while looking to see if you are overstepping elsewhere. Begin with asking yourself, who owns me?
Yeah, that's the ever-present question every day. Who owns me?
Yeah.
I ask myself that all the time, making sure I try to own myself as best as I can in this crazy world, you know. Mm. Fran, I picked number 10 for you, the indomitable power of the human spirit. It's a powerful card. The human spirit is unequaled in power. Nothing can defeat it. Within your creative ability, you are a powerhouse of energy that can be channeled into any endeavor. Given time, nothing's out of reach for you. Claim your power and live up to your human potential. Apply your powerful spirit to overcoming whatever obstacles stand in your way. So that's a great card. And by the way, for anybody who didn't listen to last week's show, we talked a lot about potential. And that lives in our spirit. We are potential. It's then learning where it belongs. So I think Sherry is next, Michael.
And for Sherry, I pulled number 39, education. Oh, this is perfect. Continual education is the key to individual and collective consciousness and personal success. Commit yourself to lifelong learning, educating yourself continually. If you don't know something, first look for the answers yourself and then ask if necessary. Gain education and advice through various sources, including people, but always strive to find your own answers. Look for lessons in life experience, situations, and circumstances. Make it your adage to listen, think, learn, grow, and live.
I love that. It's great. You know, Dr. Edward made a comment again in the chat room about his card on boundaries. He said, I think I've had that card pulled at least twice in the past month. Must be a lesson that I really need to learn. I think what it is, if I can say this, Edward, is just a reminder and to check in about boundaries. And sometimes in our daily life, we don't realize how we exceed our boundaries or how others are exceeding our boundaries and how much we tolerate that goes beyond a boundary. And sometimes it's so small, and it's to observe that. And again, it's not like, oh, you have big problems and big boundary problems. Sometimes it's really small, but it indicates a lesson in the self, an observation in the self to say, what are my philosophies of life? What are my ethics, my integrity? What will I tolerate and what will I not tolerate? What will I stand up to? And I know that very often with other people and their dynamic, I stay out of it. But if I was treated that way, that's not going to happen, but, and again, that's a boundary too, because what their dynamic is none of my business. So sometimes that's the boundary of when not to cross it when there's dynamics with other people. So again, the lessons can be very, very subtle. Not profound at all, but profound in their subtlety.
All right. So I think that's it for the cards. And it's been a great discussion tonight. We talked about evolution, beliefs, open-mindedness, boundaries, the indomitable power of the human spirit, and education. And hopefully there was a point or two tonight that just got you thinking. And that's what we want to do each week. Just get you thinking. And if you have a topic that you would like to have discussed on this program, don't hesitate to email us, admin@icmhchurch.org. Or if you're a student at one of our schools, just send it to the usual email address. And next week, Michael's got the title for our program. Michael, what is that again?
For next week, we're going to be talking about the power of laughter.
Okay.
Love that.
Comedy. Good.
The power of humor. Are you kidding? That's it's a lifesaver.
Absolutely.
I look forward to that. It'll be a great show next week.
Yeah, we'll look forward to that. So, anyway, thanks to everybody tonight for tuning in the live program, those in the chat room. Also, thanks to those listening to the archives. We appreciate you. Thanks to Dr. Hunter and to Michael Kelly. And until next week, listen, think, learn, and grow. Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.